So I love the phrase emotional bosh. It is a phrase spoken by Martin Luther King. He said, "When I speak of love, I am not speaking of some sentimental and weak response, which is little more than emotional bosh." I love imagining those words coming from Dr. King's mouth. The emotional bosh kind of love is what we are talking about. When we think that a husband who abuses his wife loves her, or a parent that harshly punishes their child does it out of love. Love in our culture is unfortunately mostly about romance, or about a transmission of affection, or about Hallmark cliches. But the truth is that the kind of love that is really powerful, that is transformational, isn't only affection, but must also include things like respect, commitment, trust, vulnerability, and work. That kind of love isn't only about a feeling, but about a choice, about a commitment to act. And the most common false assumption, I think, about love is that in love we will not be challenged or changed. Because the truth is we change and are changed by love. Thich Nhat Hanh, as we read this morning, wrote, "When I knew how to love, the doors of my heart opened wide before the wind. Reality was calling out for revolution." So how have you been changed by love? Have you caused change through love? I'm sure that you have. Love creates a revolution first in our own hearts. I'd say that my closest relationships are those in which I have been vulnerable. I often think that friendships in which we haven't had an argument aren't really close friends. We're always walking on eggshells around each other. There's not the deep intimacy that comes from risking change with one another. These are relationships in which we've risked saying hard things. We've argued and chosen to come back together after honest searching, apologies, commitments to forgive and to go forward differently, changed. I'm not talking just about romantic relationships, but also friendships, family members, and communities. Here at this church, we commit to standing on the side of love, as our big yellow banner out front says. Several years ago, the Unitarian Universalist Association, of which we are a part, launched this Standing on the Side of Love campaign. It's a campaign whose purpose is to confront exclusion and violence that is based on identity, be it sexual orientation or gender or race or class or ability. And Unitarian Universalists have always found many ways that we are called to stand on the side of love. In the 1800s, the Unitarian Lydia Marie Child defied the prohibition of her time against women speaking in public, and demanded freedom for enslaved African Americans. She also protested the Trail of Tears, the brutal removal of the Cherokee people. She was standing on the side of love. When Unitarian Universalist minister James Reeb heeded the call of Dr. King to come to Selma, Alabama, and was bludgeoned to death by racists, he was standing on the side of love. Especially during the recent anti-immigrant rhetoric and actions in this country, several UU congregations have given sanctuary to individuals and families at risk of deportation, standing on the side of love. And this past summer, when the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was legal, this church advertised that it would offer free wedding ceremonies to same-sex couples. Even knowing that you might attract negative, even hateful attention, this church chose to stand on the side of love. UU congregations across the country have hung Black Lives Matter banners in front of their buildings, saying, yes, all lives matter, but Black lives are particularly at risk right now. So why does it make a difference to stand on the side of love? The author and activist Bell Hooks says, love comes in and says, there isn't any difference that can't be understood. There isn't any conflict that can't be reconciled. So love becomes a major, major threat to the formation of any kind of culture of dominator thinking and dominator society. Dominator society, the skeptic may say, dominator society, those are pretty heavy words. Isn't racism pretty much over? Except for the rare skinhead, or we have a Black president. Most in our country continue to live with the myth that all lives are treated as if they matter the same. But consider the fact that Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, owned and bought and sold slaves himself. And we know from his writings that Jefferson saw people of color as somehow less than white people, saw women as less than men, saw people who were not Christian as less than Christian. In his world, the only people that really mattered were white Christian men of property, though he probably would not have admitted it. He was a product of his time, shaped by the socially accepted prejudices of his time, just as we are a product of our time. So it can be difficult for us to see that racism has not disappeared, but instead has shifted into an invisible and seemingly subtle form that usually lies outside our conscious awareness, as I talked about a few weeks ago. It hides in our unconscious biases and becomes embedded in the policies and structures of our cultures and institutions. So the Civil Rights Movement was successful in changing many of the laws in our country that created inequality, but what remains is the bias in our hearts and minds. And in some ways, this kind of racism is harder to eradicate, and yet can have real effects in the lives of people of color, especially if they are also underprivileged in other ways, such as gender or class or ability. So what does justice mean when I say racial justice? As Bell Hooks says, the heart of justice is a longing for people to be able to grow and develop freely in a positive and constructive way. So justice then calls for the conditions that allow for the flourishing of all people. Instead, unfortunately, I think most of us, we think of justice as the scales of justice, as the legal system, where someone wins and someone loses. So no wonder we might have an unconscious hardening of our hearts when we think of the idea of justice. What are we going to lose? Bell Hooks says, dominator thinking and practice relies for its maintenance on the constant production of a feeling of lack, of the need to grasp, so that we are on the side, the scale. So perhaps the opposite of standing on the side of love isn't standing on the side of hate, because who would put that banner in front of their church? Hopefully no one. But maybe standing on the side of fear, maybe that's love's opposite. The fear that I will not have enough love, enough belonging, enough security in the identity that I have carefully, unconsciously constructed with the help of my culture. When we are instead rooted in real, difficult love, we are moved to want justice for others. Because we do not see ourselves as separate, we know that justice for one gives more to us We do not lose when others have justice. As Martin Luther King said, love builds up and unites. Love is creative and redemptive. And here's the thing. Love happens in relationship because most change happens in relationship. Our understandings of racial issues are severely limited. The fewer real relationships we white people in particular have with people of color. Our understanding of difference, any kind of difference, is immature and stunted until we risk relationship with people who are different from us. So I challenge us, the next time we encounter an opportunity for relationship, whether it is with someone here at this church who you are different from, or your waiter at the restaurant, or your neighbor, I ask us, how can we stand on the side of love in that moment, the kind of love that inspires us to change? Not the love that is emotional bosh. This is a choice to see ourselves as connected and open to being changed. Because the board has voted, this board, your board, has voted to add a quote to the sign in front of our church. It will say, "We need not think alike to love alike. We best realize love in community. How can we open ourselves to be challenged by and changed by this, our church community, our other communities? How can we be moved to go out and change and be changed by our wider communities?" Cornel West, the black intellectual, said, "Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public." So let our love be the kind that moves us toward justice. May it be so. Amen.